You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to Psalms 100. You know, it's Thanksgiving. I know I'm on a series, but I'm going to digress, I guess, or actually that wouldn't be a digression. But we're going to minister today on Thanksgiving, on thankfulness, on being thankful, on saying thanks and giving thanks. Amen. You know, I always like to think of it this way, that when you're giving thanks to someone for something, whether it be God or each other, you know, it forces you out of yourself. It forces you to remind yourself of your need for others and what good others have done for you. So there's a lot going on when you say thank you and when you give thanks. It's a good practice. It's a good lifestyle. It's a high lifestyle. It's an attitude of gratitude, as they say, and your attitude determines your altitude, you know, how high you fly. But as you're a thankful person, you're always thanking people, praising people, then you're not thinking on the negative. You're not thinking all that's wrong in life. You're not thinking about all the problems, and you're not thinking on all the issues with other people. You're forcing yourself to think of what good people have done to you and God and whoever else, and so it changes your whole perspective on life. A thankful person is a happy person, really, joyful person. Has to be. Because you just can't go around thanking people all the time for things without being positive. I mean, it forces you to think, to captivate your mind and think on the good that people have done. Now, on the other hand, bitter people are unhappy people. They're unforgiving. All they can think of is the bad that other people have done. Can't believe they did me that way. They are the center of their universe. Hello. And see, you know, we need to understand we're not the center of the universe. First of all, God's the center of our universe. And then others should be in that equation. We should reach out to others. You know, we are not the sun. We're just satellites. That's all we are. Now, we can pick which sun we rotate or revolve around, but we're not going to be the sun. We're not nouns. We're adjectives. We're never going to be the noun, but we can pick the noun we, you know, complement, as it were. So that's what's wrong with Adam and Eve. You know, they thought they were nouns and they were just adjectives. They thought they were the sun, they were just satellites. And that's kind of what we get into sometimes when it's all about me. Me, I can't believe they did that to me. I can't believe they said to me. Instead of saying thank you for what you did that was good. It gets you out of yourself and puts you in the proper place in the universe. Amen. And grammatically, in a sentence structure, it puts you in the right place. Adjective, not noun. Does that make sense? Okay, a couple of you got it. Somebody's coughing, but that's all right. We're praying for you. Psalms 100, short psalm, but I can sure stretch it out. Amen. Not to worry, I can make this last. Yes. It says here in the first verse, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. King James says joyful noise. Make a joyful shout. The New King James says, I love that. Man, that is great. And he's not talking about being accurate and being concise and being a professional and, you know, and making sure you hit the right note and the key and all that. You know, if that were the case, well, that'd knock out a bunch of us, to say the least. But he says make a joyful noise, joyful shout. We can do that. Woo! Hallelujah. We can praise the Lord. We can shout to God. We can give Him glory. We can give Him honor. You know, and in our praise service, we should be doing that. You know, maybe you don't sing on key. Maybe you don't have a great voice. We knew that a long time ago. That's okay. That's okay. We don't all have good voices either. But you know what? We can make some noise. Yep. And we can make some joyful noise. Everybody say joyful. Joyful. That's not screaming. Okay? That's not like a mule braying at midnight in a tin barn. That is actually joyful. We're happy. You know, I was listening to some, actually Christian music the other day. It was some, and it was good. Oh, yeah, like I don't listen to Christian music. The point I'm making was, it's going to sound funny when I say it. I was listening to some worship, that's what it was. It was worship, and it was a little dated, but and I don't have a problem with that. I love old songs, I love new songs, I love all kinds of songs. But I just happened to notice the spirit of it was really kind of bluesy, you know? And yet it was supposed to be worship, and when it was all said and done, it was good, it was professional, it was, you know, but it was, you just felt sad instead of up. And I thought, that's not what God intended. He didn't want us to feel sad. He wants us to be up. He wants to hear a joyful noise. When I think about the Lord, makes me want to shout. Are you with me? So there's a balance there. I mean, I understand that. There's a solemn worship time, and then there's this exciting worship time, and so on and so forth. But it never should. We never should walk away sad. We never should walk away bluesy, like we've been listening to B.B. King, you know, for... Hello. Amen. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Oh, come on now. Come on now. He's not gone. He's here. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We don't have to sing that song, praise God. There is sunshine every day in our lives. We need to make a joyful noise to the Lord. And this is a theme you see throughout the Psalms. I mean, the psalmist did this over and over. You know, Psalms 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We used to sing that song at Lakewood years ago. Years ago when Brent and I went to Lakewood. Not that many years ago. But when Brother Osteen was pastor of Lakewood Church, I remember back in the 70s when we started going to Lakewood, they sang right out of the Bible. It was just really interesting. In fact, he'd say, they had several song leaders. One of them was Tom Love. Tom Love used to be a song leader there. Back then, CB's were real popular. His handle was the Lakewood Leaper. If you know anything about boy, I just lost over half of y'all when I said that. But anyway, he'd get up and he'd say, okay, get out your King James hymnal. And we'd sing right out of the Bible. We sang these songs just over and over. In fact, I remember so many of them. I thought about that one, Psalms 34. Hold your place, Psalms 100. 100. That's East Texas is coming out at me. Psalms 34, notice what it says there. And the psalmist is just, this is what they do. They shout to God. They make joyful noise. They praise Him. Over and over and over, you see this through the Scripture. It's a theme that's all through here. It's something we need to get a hold of. It's praise and worship and thanksgiving. Amen? Notice what it says in Psalms 34. In fact, the first four verses, we used to sing them. Y'all bear with me if I can get this right. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. The humble shall hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard my cry, and He delivered me from all my fears. He delivered me from all my fears. Hallelujah. Amen. But we'd do that. I can't believe I remembered all those notes and everything to it either. But we would just take the Psalms and sing them and praise God and worship God. That's what we do when we worship here in the service. You know, those words mean something. We're saying something significant and important about our God. We're thanking Him. We're praising Him. And that really, the Psalms were praises. That's what the word Psalms means. They were praises to God. And so in Psalms 100, oh man, you can get the boy out of East Texas. You just can't get the East Texas out of the boy. Psalms 100, make a joyful shout or a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. You know, that reminds me of Psalms 35, verse 27. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them continually say, let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. Hallelujah. So I favor God's righteous cause. How about you? Yes. I believe in what God is doing. I believe in the gospel. I believe in the sharing of the good news. I believe in salvation. I believe in healing. I believe in peace. I believe in heaven. I believe in God's righteous cause. Therefore, I should shout for joy. Let them shout for joy that favor my righteous cause. And let them continually say. Everybody say continually. We read over there, or I sang over there in Psalms 34. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We should be a thankful people. We should be a joyful people. We have something to rejoice about and something to be thankful about. You say, well, you don't know what's going on in my life. Well, I know Jesus is still Lord and God's still on the throne. And I know the promises are still true. And I know He's crazy about you. And I know He's got hope for you and help for you and healing for you. And I know He's got a bright future for you. Jeremiah 29:11 tells me that He has plans for you.
Yes, He does.
I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of good, not of evil. Amen. A destiny and a hope, to give you a destiny and a hope. God loves you and He's for you. We have reason to rejoice. Amen.
Amen.
Continually we ought to let that praise be in our mouth. I'm thinking of Philippians 4:4, where Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. I love that. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In other words, let people see you rejoicing. Let people hear you. Let people experience and notice you, that the Lord is at hand. Your rejoicing brings Him on the scene, really, if you want to know the truth about it. And that's a classic scripture where He goes into that sixth verse. That's Philippians 4:4-5. And the sixth verse says, be careful, fretful, anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Man, I love that. I love that. But therein, again, He's talking about rejoicing. He throws prayer into it, and requesting and asking God. But then in the midst of that, He says, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. So when I'm praying and asking God for something, I need to be thanking Him for it and thanking Him for what all He's done. Amen? To rejoice in Him. It's just a constant attitude of thanksgiving. So, make a joyful noise or shout to the Lord, all you lands. That's what He's telling us. Amen? And obviously He did this, and we see this throughout the Scripture. People that are joyful, people that are thankful, people that are always praising God. You know, they live longer. They live better. They don't just have quantity of life and years. They have quality of life. You know, I don't want to live 150 years if I'm just going to be crawling around and decrepit and mad and upset. My body's deteriorating. Stay with me. Are you with me? But if I'm in good shape and I got a great attitude, my mind's there and I'm joyful, I want to keep living.
Amen.
I want to keep living. And then one day I'll say, hey, I'm ready to go. I'm going to go on. I'm going to be with the Lord. God wants you to have quality of life. With a long life will He satisfy you, the Bible says, and show you His salvation. So He wants you to be satisfied that you've lived a good life and a long life. The best way to do that is to be a thankful person. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's all about others. It's all about God. Serve the Lord, second verse, with gladness. Everybody say glad. I get so tickled talking to, well, it's not tickled. I don't understand. I really don't. I talk to pastors and ministers and, you know, friends of mine, acquaintances of mine. They're not all this way, but some of them are, I don't even know why they're still pastoring. I just don't understand why they're still preaching and teaching. They're mad. They're upset. They're just, you know, they drag themselves down to church every week. They got nothing but trouble. Got nothing but problems. Everybody's always against them. They don't like this and they don't like that and they don't get what they deserve and they ought to have more people and ought to have more money and bless God, lived all their life and this is all I got to show for it and that kind of attitude. I'm thinking, man, I'm just happy to be here. Really. I mean, I was talking to one guy one time and I said, you know, I was going to hell one day. Got saved. And ever since then, I'm just glad to be here. Anything else, just icing on a cake. I love to go to church. I love to preach. I love to teach. I love people.
Amen.
You know, we got people that love us and are for us, and we got things going on, people doing different things. I'm just privileged to be a part of this thing. I thank God for it.
Amen.
I love church. Can't wait to get down here. I don't know why y'all keep coming to hear me preach, but I love to preach.
Amen.
And I love the fact that y'all keep coming. And, you know, I mean, we ought to rejoice in what God has given us. We ought to rejoice and where we are. We all count. We're all important. God loves us. We got much more to be thankful for than we do to be critical of.
Amen.
Yeah, Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm serving the Lord with gladness.
Amen.
If you're not having fun serving Jesus, you're not doing it right. You are not doing it right. This is a joy to me. Man, I remember when I was lost. I am so glad I'm saved. It's wonderful to get up in the morning and know where you are and how you got there.
Yeah.
Open up your wallet and all your money's still there.
Yeah.
Hello.
That's right.
It's wonderful. That's a great feeling. No, I wouldn't go back to any. No. Those days of sorrow, those days of longing, those days of emptiness and trying to find some purpose, you know, killing myself and everybody around me. No. I don't want to go back there. I am so glad to be saved. I am so thankful. To be able to share with people and help people and bless people and love people and lift people and pray with people and see other people get saved and get out of that mess I was in. Are you kidding me? I'm serving the Lord with gladness. I'm joyful. I am thankful. Praise God. We need to be thankful of what we have. You say, well, I got this going on, that going on. You're still alive. Hallelujah. You're not going to hell. You're going to heaven.
Amen.
God's for you. The promises of God are staggering. On your behalf, what He will do for you if you'll get in faith and trust Him and serve Him. You ought to be excited about this. And I know you are. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here. I am the same way. I'm just so excited to be saved. I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't want to go back to a world without Jesus. I don't want to go to a world without hope, a world without peace. Oh, are there struggles? Sure. Battles? Yeah, you bet. But we win battles. And we overcome struggles. Amen? We got reason to rejoice. So he says this. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. You know, that was one of the curses of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, in the 47th verse. It says, one of the curses, or the curse came on them. He says, because you did not serve the Lord with joyfulness and gladness of heart. Wow. For the abundance of all things. Man, did you get that? That's Deuteronomy 28, verse 47. And he says, cursed shall you be in the field, cursed shall be in the storehouse, cursed shall be in the city, cursed coming in, cursed going out. You know, curse. Your life will lie in doubt and confusion. In the morning you'd wish to God it were evening, in the evening you wish to God it were morning. You know, and he goes on and on, just curse. We're redeemed from the curse. Thank God. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Man, I'm blessed and you're blessed because what Jesus did. So when I read those curses, I can say, man, I'm redeemed from that. I'm redeemed from that. I'm redeemed from that. Christ has redeemed me from that. But the curses came on them, it says, because they did not serve the Lord with gladness and joyfulness of heart for the abundance of all things. They did not trust God. They weren't excited about God. They did not come to God in their time of need. And God had an abundance of things to give them and bless them with. They weren't joyful. They weren't glad. And they weren't coming to God for that. Hey, that's not me. Call me Jimmy. I'll take all you give me. I'm going to run to God in time of need. I'm going to call on God. I know which side of the bread my bread's buttered on. I know the hand that feeds me. God is my source. Hallelujah. My Father in heaven is where my peace comes from, where my joy comes from, where my, you know, my provision comes from and my protection comes from, where my acceptance and my love comes from. Comes from Him. And I'm glad to be here.
Amen.
Joyful. So we ought to serve the Lord with gladness. Woo! Yeah, I even in Acts, the second chapter, it talks about the disciples and getting together. And Acts 2, I've got a note here somewhere, 46, says they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Now, church was a joy to them, amen? Fellowship was something they enjoyed. They had gladness. They were joyful about it. Put a smile on your face.
Amen.
Okay, at least halfway respond here. Yeah, preacher, amen. You go, preacher. Hallelujah. So serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. I love that, man. We ought to sing before the Lord. You ought to sing. Not just in the shower, but, you know, sing going to work and sing, you know, coming back. Sing to the Lord. That's what this worship is all about. It's really an attitude. It's getting us in an attitude of joyfulness and thankfulness and praise and worship. And, you know, and you got to kick this in gear. Listen, you can pet that devil or you can come out of that mess, that devil of depression. You can pet that devil of pity. self-pity. You can pet that thing, or you can break that thing. You can come against it in Jesus' name and start worshiping the Lord, start praising God. And you know, when you begin to praise God, He comes on the scene. The Bible says, let God arise, let His enemies be scattered. Well, how do you get them to arise? You worship Him, you praise Him, you thank Him. Think about it. Is there anything He's done for you? Has He not done one good thing for you? Man, I couldn't list them. I couldn't list them. I know Amanda's got a little blessing book, you're calling. She's writing down little blessings that God, you know, does from time to time. Something that He does that definitely we could see that God did this, God did that. And she's writing them down in a blessing book. Boy, that's something to meditate on, isn't it? Think about every good thing God's done, every prayer He's answered, every time He's protected you, every time He's blessed you, just supernaturally, just, you know, all of a sudden something happened. You knew it had to be God. There's no other way around it. Write that down. That's what you meditate on. Those are the things you think on. In fact, I quoted that over in Philippians 4:6, you know, where it talks about, be careful, fretful, anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, the next verse, the 8th verse, says this, says, think on these things. Whatsoever things are pure and just and holy and for be a good report, any virtue, any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. So He talks about your mind and what you think on. You ought to think of things that are good report. Think of things where there's virtue and praise. Are you with me? Thanksgiving will cause you to do that. If you're going to be thankful, if you determine, I'm going to be thankful to God today, you've got to stop and think of something that He did good. Amen. If you're going to thank someone else for something they did, you've got to stop and think of something good they did.
That's right.
It forces you out of the negative into the positive. So a thankful person is a positive person, no question, biblically speaking. And it makes you glad to be around.
Yes, it does.
You know, I think of y'all and I get happy. I do. I think about all the things y'all have done and what y'all have meant to us over the years, and what a blessing y'all are, and you know, and what a great church we have. And we do. We have a great church. I just love this church. Love this church. I love coming to this church. I love you. I talk about you everywhere I go. But I'm thankful. It makes me happy and glad to be here. I can't wait to get here. Because of that attitude. So, wow, 2nd verse. Told you I could stretch it out. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. I don't know what's going on in your life, but God's God, and He can overcome what's going on in your life. I don't know what circumstance you're facing. I don't know how big the bullets are flying that are coming by you. I don't know how great the battle is, but I know God, He is God. I know that if we trust Him and praise Him, nobody can stand against Him. Nobody can pluck us out of His hand. Hallelujah. Nobody can stand against the Lord. Are you kidding me? This is God, the Maker, the Creator of all that is. He is our God, our Father. He loves us. Know ye that He is God. He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. He knows more about us than we know about us. He knows more about our potential than we know about our potential. He knows more about our giftings than we know about our giftings. See, when you think you can't make it, God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Now, you may not think you can make it, but God knows more about you than you do. God made you. Well, I'm just giving up. I can't make it. Oh, no, wait a minute. God says you can make it. God says you're more than a conqueror through Him that loved you. God says greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. God's made us. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. He has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Wow. I can make it. How do you know that? Because God says so.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He knows more than I do. And He says I can make it. He says I'm not as sorry and no good and worthless as I think I am.
Thank you, God.
He says I'm more able than I think I'm able. He says, I can make it another day, and I don't feel like I can, but He says I can. And He knows more than I do.
Amen.
And He'll be there to empower me and strengthen me, to help me overcome this thing, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He is God, not me. I'm not God. I don't know the future. He does. I don't know my limits. He does. I don't know what all I can do. He knows what all I can do. And if He says I can do it, I can do it.
Amen.
Y'all catching this?
Yes.
See, we become an authority over God. When we come in here and say, no, there's no way, I can't do that, I can't make it, I can't forgive, I can't love, I can't make another day. Oh, are you God?
Yeah.
Did you make yourself? God says you can forgive. God says you can love. God says you can make it another day. Know ye that He is God. No, He made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Man, if that doesn't make you shout, I don't know what will. If that don't get you glad, I don't know what will. If that doesn't bring joy, I don't know what will. Praise God. It's not over. And don't stick the fork in and don't throw in the towel. Man, I'd throw away that fork, get chopsticks, and I'd burn that towel. Just a thought. You know, this is similar to what Paul said, in Him we live, we move, we have our very being. I love that. In Him we live and move and have our very being. In Him we live and move and have our very being. In Him we live and move and have our very being. Think about it. We are His offspring. That's what he goes on to say in Acts. It tells us that. I think about Paul saying that, the fact that my life's in Him, not in this world, not in this circumstance, not in that situation, not in this battle, not in that struggle. My life's in Him, and in Him I live and move. I'm not paralyzed. I don't have to stop. I can't move. Fear paralyzes you, but faith will get you moving again. Amen? In Him I live and move and have my very being. I'm not my own. God made me. He's my God. I didn't make myself. I'm His sheep. He's my shepherd. He leads me. He guides me. He provides for me. He protects me. That's what a shepherd does. See, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down by the green pasture, leads me by the still waters, restores my soul. Are you with me?
Amen.
Leads me to paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, I'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surety, goodness, and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because I'm His sheep. That's why. He's my shepherd. I don't have to worry about all that. You catching this? See, it's an attitude. And we thank Him, we praise Him, we worship Him. So He says, we're His people and the sheep of His pasture. Don't you think God takes care of His own? The only way He wouldn't is if we ran off. But if we stay in a bunch, we'll be okay. I mean, that's a bad reflection on a shepherd when the sheep are starving. You go see a ranch where there's a bunch of cows, just nothing but ribs sticking out. That's a reflection on the rancher. Blessing us makes God look good. Taking care of us makes Him look good. Joy in our life points to Jesus. Supply in our life points to Him. So we need to trust Him, not just a matter of selfishness, not just a matter of getting our needs met. We need to trust Him and believe Him as a matter of shining forth His provision, letting people know He's a good God.
Amen.
Y'all out there? Woo! Okay. Fourth verse. Found it? It's right after the third one. Enter His gates with what?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Well, how can I get closer to God? Well, why don't you thank Him a little more? I just like to get a little closer to God. Well, we'll start thanking Him more because that's how you enter His gates. That's how you get close to Him. You begin to praise Him. You actually, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Psalms 34, we said that a while ago. You magnify the Lord when you talk about Him. You magnify the Lord. I love that because there's such a great teaching in that. If you talk about the problem all the time, you magnify the problem. And when you magnify something, it gets bigger. Takes in the whole landscape, the whole panorama. I mean, it gets to where you can't see anything but that. It's so big because you've been magnifying it so much. I have to, if it's real small print, grab my glasses to magnify it. I need something to enhance, I just say I wear glasses for the appearance because they make things appear, So you put them on, and what you could not see before becomes clear, and you see it. Because you've magnified it. Ah. Well, now look, you got a pair of magnifying glasses in your mouth. You do. You really do. And see, God over here, well, you know, somebody's telling you, you know, God can fix that. God can take care of that. God's word says thus and so, and you're going, well, man, I just can't see that. Well, you need to magnify it.
Yeah, good.
You need to put your glasses on. Y'all catching this?
Yes.
Oh, come on now. This is better preaching. Y'all already admit it. You start talking about it, and all of a sudden you start seeing it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I see that. The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever.
Yeah,
oh, God is so good to me. God said this, and God said that, and God said this, and God said that. Oh, man, I'm starting to see that now. Yeah, I can see that. Well, of course. Now I've magnified it to the point where I can see it.
Yeah. Amen.
Woo. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. See? Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. You know, Psalms 22, we quote it all the time. Psalms 22, verse 3 says, Thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of His people. We say that all the time. But actually, praise creates a habitat for God. Thanksgiving brings Him on the scene. It magnifies Him. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It makes Him bigger instead of the problem. It makes His promise bigger instead of the bad report. Whatever we talk about, we magnify. Whatever we thank and praise, we make bigger. People gravitate toward what is praised. You tell someone they did something real good, whatever that thing is, they'll remember that. And they'll come back and they'll spend more effort on that thing you praise them on than on the thing that you said something negative about. Throughout your life, people have said things about you. And the things you've remembered most of all, really, is those things that were those good things people said. And you kind of took ownership of them because they praised you for them and they thanked you for them. And they said, oh, you're so good at that and you do this so well and you're so good. And see, you took that. It was magnified. And you inhabited that. Well, in a real sense, God does inhabit His praises. He comes on the scene. Because we don't call Him healer, He doesn't heal. Not us. He does others. But because we don't call Him Savior, He doesn't save. Not us. He'll save others. When we begin to call Him Savior, and we begin to call Him healer, salvation, the Savior, comes on the scene. And the healer comes on the scene. He inhabits the praises of His people. We enter His presence, see, His gates with thanksgiving. We enter His courts with praise. Woo! Hallelujah. I love that. And in His presence is what? Fullness of joy. Psalm 16:11 tells us that. In His presence is fullness of joy. You want joy? Get in His presence. How to get in His presence? Praise Him and thank Him. Thanksgiving will put you in the presence of God. Get you out of the presence of that problem. Get you out of the presence of that doubt and unbelief. Get you out of the presence of that devil that's bringing that pain and that pity on you. Woo! Okay. Wow. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Woo! For the Lord is good. I love that. You know, God's not bad. He's good. And everything He does is good. You say, well, what's going on in my life's not so good. Well, maybe God's not doing that. You ever think about that? Yeah, well, I had this happen. I don't see anything good in that. Would you ever think about maybe that was you did that, or maybe the devil did that, or, you know, everything happens, not God. How do you know what's God? Well, whatever's good is God. And you know what good is? Church's fried chicken. Well, where that came from. But you know what good is? You know how to help people. You know what's nice and kind? That's what God does. Well, all that evil and mean and hateful stuff, that's not God doing that to you. You say, well, this happened. I can't believe God did that to me. God didn't do that to you. The world we live in did that. The devil did that. Or you did it. I mean, but God didn't do that. God's good. Well, I don't know why God broke my leg, but God did not break your leg. I mean, really. Now, people stand up in churches and say this kind of crazy stuff. Well, whatever happens is good. If you could just see it through God's eyes, it's a good thing that your house burnt down. No, it's not good, and God didn't burn your house down.
That's right.
Well, I thought God did everything. Well, where do you get that? Where does that come from? Is that in the Bible? Because, see, my Bible doesn't say that. I've read through the Bible, and I see the devil doing things and people doing things, and I see God doing things and Jesus doing things. And you see Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out the devil, giving to the poor, stopping storms. He never kills anybody, never makes anybody sick, never stops any storm. Wait a minute. There's God. What are you trying to say? Nothing. I'm just agreeing with Scripture. God is good. Well, I just thank Him for the bad times, and I thank Him for the good times. No, no, here's what you... If you feel so grateful about those bad times, if you feel so thankful for that tragedy that happened in your life, let's thank the right person. Go thank the devil. Because God didn't do that. God's good. You might say the devil's bad all the time, too. You know, so if you're... praising God, thanking Him for... And I hear people say that. Well, we ought to thank Him for the good times and the bad times. Oh, really? You want to thank Him for hell? Thank Him for hell. Thank you, people are burning in hell. Thank, what? That's not God. God didn't do that. Their sin took them to hell. Thank Him. You know, thank Him for tragedy. Thank Him for pain. Thank Him... Oh, no, no, no. You thank Him for healing. You thank Him for deliverance. You thank Him for victory. And you come against the devil that has brought that stuff in your life and this world and sin and all those things, and you stand firmly, strongly against... The church stands against sickness and disease. It is not for sickness and disease. The church stands against sin. It is not for sin. The church is the people you run to when you have a tragedy. The church does not stand for tragedy. The church is against it tooth and nail. We are against pain. We are against suffering. We're against loneliness. We're against depression. We're against hell. We're for heaven. We're for healing. We're for victory. Amen. Are you with me? Why? Because God is. Because God is. Jesus definitely was. We know that. He was good, good, good. Amen. So He says, "For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting. It endures forever." I love that. And that theme, boy, you see that all through the Scripture. Give thanks to the Lord for He is good and His mercy endures forever. 1 Chronicles 16:34 tells us that. And over and over and over, all through the Scripture, we see that God is good and His mercy endures forever. Aren't you glad? 2,000 years after Jesus died and rose again, He's still merciful, He's still good, and is still enduring forever. We're still getting saved. We're still getting healed. We're still getting filled with the Holy Ghost. We're still getting blessed. Our prayers are still getting answered. God's still moving. He's still alive. He still loves us. Hallelujah. His mercy endures forever. The Lord is still good. Never was bad. Never will be bad. He's good. He's our only hope. Our only help. Our only healer. Our only Savior. Our only Redeemer. Our only life giver. He is good. That's why we thank Him, and that's why we praise Him. That's why we are joyful about serving Him. That's why we're glad, because this God we're serving is good. We're not going to wake up one morning He's going to hate us. We're not going to wake up one morning He's going to change the rules. He's not schizophrenic. He's not moody. You don't catch Him on a bad day. This God is a good God. We serve Him with gladness. We serve Him with joyfulness. We shout to the Lord, hallelujah. Amen. Fifth verse. For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth. Now think about this psalm that we're reading here. Man, 3,000 years ago this thing was written. Wow. Can you imagine? Some 3,000 years ago, we're reading this psalm here, and this truth, powerful truth, stirring me just preaching it, hopefully stirring you hearing it. I mean, I'm getting charged up by just reading through here. His truth endures to all generations. 3,000 years later, and this word still has power. It still has anointing. It still has encouragement. It still has strength in it. I tell you, it endures to all generations. My generation, the next generation, the next generation. Woo! It'll endure forever. You know, Jesus said in Mark 13:31, He said, "Heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away." Never. So whatever they meant then, whatever power they had then, they still got today, and they still mean today. He still has the power today to heal you, the power today to save you, the power today to put you back up on your feet again. He has the power today to do whatever it is you need. Why? would we not be thankful? Here, this Thanksgiving season, why would we not be so thankful and so grateful and so honored to call this God our Father? We're in the family, people. That means we can walk right up to the refrigerator and open it up and just get anything in there. We're His kids. My kids just come in my house. My grandkids just come in my house. They just raid the refrigerator and the counters and turn the TV on and get my remote. And that's just going too far. I remember one day I came in, came from the church, I was going home and got there a little after 4:30 or so, whatever, and the kids got off the bus at 4. This is my grandkids. They're all sitting on my couch, all eating a banana, drinking a Coke, watching TV. I walk in, they go, "Hey, Papa." I didn't tell them they couldn't come in. They didn't ask anybody to come in. They raided the refrigerator and turned the TV on, They're family. Are you with me? They know that. They understand that. And you know what? I didn't think anything about it. I just said, "Hey," and went in there and got me a banana, went in there. Sat down and watched cartoons with them, I've seen more kids' shows and cartoons since I've become a grandfather. It's unreal. I can tell you all of them. But they're family. See, and that's what God is telling us, that we're His kids. We're not just His sheep. We're His kids. And He loves us, and He's for us, and He's good. Why would we not be thankful?
Amen.
Praise God. I love it when my grandkids thank me for something, and Mikhail does it a lot, and the boys will do it. They'll come up and just thank me. "Thank you, Papa. Thank you for this. Thank you for that." And I'd have done it anyway. I love them. I'm for them, But that gratitude just makes you want to do more. And I know it does God the same way. The more we thank Him and praise Him, the more we can expect Him to move on our behalf. Because He sees genuine love in a relationship, and that's what God wants.